I'm gonna have to be late on this, because I got so many notes, got whole chapters, I don't wanna read whole chapters, I only got 45 minutes. Sometimes you hear Christians say, especially, you know, if they're new converts or whatever, the Lord condemned me for that, but how many knows that's not right? Because there's a difference. God convicts, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, He convicts, but God never, He's not the condemner. So I looked up in John 3:17, where He talks about Jesus came not to condemn the world, you know, and that word condemn, it means to decide, to try, condemn, to punish. But the word convict, when you look it up, it says to tell a fault. How many knows one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, He lets you know when you're wrong,
yeah.
When you've missed it, when you're missing the mark, you know, that's what, excuse me, sin means, is to miss the mark. So anytime that if you're born again and you miss the mark or whatever, the Holy Spirit lets you know, not out here, but on the inside. But how many knows in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 11, the Bible talks about how Satan is the accuser of the brethren, is one thing that he's called. The Bible says in Revelation there that he accuses us before God day and night. See, the thing about him is, the wrath that he is, he'll tempt you to do something, and then if you yield, he condemns you for doing it. He jumps on your back and tells you how bad you are, you know, and if you was really a Christian, you wouldn't do that or say that, or sometimes, you know, you didn't read your Bible enough. I had a hard time this morning hearing. I woke up this morning, and I hadn't listened to this in a while. And I heard Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses. Y'all ever heard that song? Don't make me sing it. I mean, just over and over and over, loud in my head. And I thought, what in the world? I was fine when I went to bed, but when I woke up, well, I got to hear. And he kept telling me, you've not read enough this week. You've not prayed enough this week. You're not going to hear God this morning. All these people are going to be looking at you at Sunday school. Why am I telling you all this? Because he does all of us the same way. Maybe not about the same thing. Now, did I read my chapter this week? Absolutely. I read my Bible this week. I prayed this week. But how many knows, in religion, it's never enough. Never enough. I don't care what you do. Listen, if you pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the devil would still tell you it wasn't enough. But the difference in that and conviction is to tell a fault. He doesn't hound you about it or anything like that, but he lets you know when you've done wrong. And he'll actually, if you'll repent, the Bible says that if we've done wrong or whatever, that if we'll repent, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness, the Bible says. Talking about Jesus, that the Bible says is the advocate that we have with the Father. Now over here in, let's see. Which one I want to go to. Let's look at, I think it's 1 John chapter 3. I think I want to start at verse 20. Now we're talking about religion versus relationship. Let me make sure I get this written right. I'm going to start reading on that. I'll just start in 18. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And the Bible talks about in Romans how that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. But notice that there. He talks about, for if our, in 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Now, this doesn't even take the devil to do it. Sometimes we can mess up. What I mean by that, do something we know we should have not have done. Or not do something that we know we should have done. Just like this, for an example, you know, say God deals with you to witness to somebody or tell them a testimony or something like that, you know, and you feel too shy or whatever, and you don't do it, and then you walk away, you know, and your heart begins to condemn you. But the Bible says there, God is greater than our heart. One of the things that the devil likes to use of God's people is called condemnation. The reason for that is because the Bible says the just shall walk and live by faith. You cannot walk around condemned all the time and have great faith toward God. It's impossible. We talked about that over there in Ephesians chapter 6 when it was talking about the weapons of our warfare and putting on the whole armor of God. Why does he want that? Because you can't yield to guilt and faith at the same time. So if we do something that we know that we should not do, or not do something that we know we should do, then what do we need to do?
Repent.
That's not a very popular word nowadays. You don't hear a lot of that word on TV much, you know, or Facebook or anything else. But I mean, it's still good for today. It's still needful for today. Why? Because there's not one of us that's been born again that from the day we got born again until now that we have been absolutely perfect 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in everything that we know to do. Right? So therefore, what? We need to repent. Not just so we can get this thing cleared up between me and the Lord, but so that the devil has nothing to use on me. And then how many know sometimes people have a hard time forgiving themselves?
Yes.
That's what he's talking about. Our hearts condemn us. But he says God is greater than our heart. That's why I have to know the word. And I have to take the word and I have to say, look, I have repented of this. God said if I would repent of it, that he would be faithful and just to forgive me of it and to cleanse me from it. So therefore, in my heart and mind, and God's, it's over with.
Amen.
And that your sin is done, the devil's business.
Right.
Why? You belong to God.
Amen.
That's between you and God. It has nothing to do with the devil. None of his business.
Right.
But that's one of the things that he does. Why? So you can't operate in faith.
Right.
Now, let's look at a conviction. He tells you where you've missed it. And the thing about it is, if you'll yield, he'll give you the grace and the ability to do what you were supposed to have done. Let's look at Let's look at Galatians 3. I don't want to read this whole chapter, but we may have to. For some, it may be very familiar scriptures. But how many knows it's not the scriptures you're familiar with in your head, it's the ones that you live. There's a difference in head knowledge and revelation in my heart. Thank you, Sandy. There's a difference between what I know in my head and revelation in my heart. The Bible did not, Jesus did not say that the gates of hell won't prevail against the knowledge that I have in my head. Jesus himself, he said the gates of hell will not prevail against the revelation knowledge. Right? Okay, these people, they've got born again. Now we're going to pick this up, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says, how can they hear lest they have a preacher? How can he preach lest he's been sent, right? You have to hear in order to have faith. So he asked them here. He said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? In other words, doing what you thought the law said for you to do? Or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith? He says, aren't you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, because you heard the word, faith came, you yielded, bam, you was born again, that you confessed Jesus in your heart, born again. He says, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Nope.
This is a tactic of the devil that he loves to do. See, if he could have killed you, stopped you, or anything before you got born again, he would have done it. But he didn't have that kind of power. Now, after you get born again, one of the things that he doesn't want is for you to continue on in walking and living by faith. Sure, you got born again by faith, but then the next thing he wants to do is take it out of relationship with God and bring it over into religion, which is works of the law. And how many knows we're not supposed to live by that? Religion is hard. Religion is harsh. Religion will make you hard and harsh. Because if you're living by religion, which is outward things, then if you picked yourself up, bless God, by the bootstraps, and you was able to do it, bless God, everybody else ought to do it the same way. Oh, y'all, not saying that. He goes on here. Let's read on. Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Listen, one of the things of the law, you couldn't wear polyester and cotton together. Y'all didn't know that? Yeah. Most of us in here would be in trouble right now. That's right. And there wasn't nobody capable of doing all of them. They had the Pharisees, they acted like they did them, but they didn't. They wanted everybody else to do them. Jesus told them, he said, you'll cross sea and land. He said, to make one proselyte, and then when you do, he said, you don't do nothing to lift one burden off of them. All they did was put all these laws and these rules and these regulations on them. He says, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Remember this verse. We're going to hear this about 5 or 6 times in the verses I've got wrote. It says, and the law is not of faith. How does faith come? By hearing. Whether I hear the word of God written and the Holy Ghost gets on that and gives something to me, or I hear him on the inside, right? It's not by you standing up necessarily and reading me off the Ten Commandments. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How?
Through faith.
He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance of the law be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? Or in other words, why do you want to serve the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Listen, I don't want to go ahead and read all that whole thing. But the rest of that is going to tell you here. The Apostle Paul, I believe it's in Romans chapter 7, I think, he said that the law is good. You've got some today, they're saying the law is bad. The law is not good. The Apostle Paul said the law is a good thing, right? But the thing that it is, it's not for believers. You understand that? It's not for the born again. What it's for is the law was to bring us to Christ, to show us there's no possible way that I can keep the law. What did you say, 613? Yeah. You got 613 laws. And you got to keep all of it, and you got to be perfect at it. But what the law does is to bring us to Christ, to show us, look, there's no way you could possibly do this. But if you'll get born again and you'll get in him, you'll fulfill the law. But it's not going to be by reading codes of letters or anything like that. Now let's go over to, let's look at Romans chapter 1. So you hear a lot about law and a lot about grace today, and that's good. But don't get it messed up. How many knows the Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to deny all ungodliness? And you got this, a lot of the stuff going around today that is not what the Bible calls the grace of God. It's kind of like I can just do whatever I want to, which is called lasciviousness or lawlessness. I can just kind of do whatever I want to, repent later or whatever. But how many knows when you're in true relationship with them, you don't want to do what you want to. Yep. Why? Now you're a new person. You have a different nature. Look here at verse 17. Well, I'm going to start at, I guess, 15. Now 14. Apostle Paul, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live, he says, by faith. Now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Just hang on. He's talking about whether you're home in the body or you're present with the Lord. Look at verse 7. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. What's that mean? I don't conduct or live my life according to the outward things that I see out here. I'm supposed to live my life according to the things that are written in my heart and the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, right? Not by what I say. The Bible says that the things that that are out here, they're temporary. Their subjects change at absolutely any time. But the things that are of the Spirit, he says, they're eternal. Now look at Hebrews 11.
Church.
Yes, sir.
So you go with the inner man. If it tells, you know, if you're good or your Holy Spirit's telling you that's wrong, like we all got, you don't really look at all the laws because you're going to know that inside, you know, whether it's wrong or right. That's just the Holy
Spirit.
Right,
we're going to read the verse in just a little bit. You got it right.
Okay.
And listen, some things are wrong for all of us.
Right.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
There's other things that may be wrong for me that is not wrong for you. What do I mean by that? Sometimes, for an example, I don't wear a red fingernail polish on my fingernails. You might not be bothered by red fingernail polish. That's your thing. I don't care. I don't care if you got your toenails, your fingernails, your tongue, whatever. Make me know the difference. I cannot wear that. Why? Because in here, it makes me feel a certain way. That's the only thing. How many knows God wants us to have nice things? There's nothing wrong with nice things. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. God wants us to have nice things and be a distributor of givers and all of that. But one time I had bought a truck. And Scott, I don't even remember one time. I don't remember the model of it now, but it's been years ago. It was a big red four-wheel drive extended cab Dodge. Oh, it's God, he took it and had me some pops. Vroom! Just say I like that. Maybe you like, that's fine. Whatever you like. I like, vroom!
Yeah.
So Scotty takes it and he has pipes put on it and has these what they call Texas tips about this big around. You know, so I got chrome coming out the back, you know. I mean, when I go by, it's vroom! You see a streak of red and you hear me before I get there. Then he goes and he gets me because I like music and I like it loud when I listen to music. I kind of like Monty, I guess. But anyway, so he goes and puts me in this Pioneer stereo. Then he goes and gets me these Audio Bond speakers. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, they're the good ones. Audio Bond speakers in this big old box that takes up almost my whole back seat. Where I'm sitting at the red light and I put in my certain CD and my mirrors are going boom, 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 boom. Tony knows what I'm talking about.
I remember.
I like that. Now, maybe y'all don't. That's fine. But anyway, this was the situation. So a little bit of time goes by, and I'm starting to feel something. I'm starting to feel this is moving me. This is making me think I'm something. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is making me think I'm something. This is making me, when I'm at the red light, you look like Travis, that when I'm at the red light, you don't want to pull up there. So I'm telling you now, I have to change to a drugstore down out there in New York. Why? Because I got four-wheel drive, you know. I want these big, I can't even think, all-terrain tires on, you know. I don't need to get off-road. But anyway, I want these big all-terrain tires on, because I live in four-wheel drive, and this thing sets up about, I have to have a ladder to get in it. So it's moving me. It's making me feel a certain way.
Right.
How many knows that's not okay with God? I don't care what it is. Whether it's a vehicle, whether it's clothes that you wear, or the way you wear your hair, or your makeup, or who you're married to. Y'all ain't saying nothing. How much money you got, how much money you don't got. So anyway, this goes on for a little while, and I could tell it. And in here, I know. Why? I got the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me. All I had to do is think something sometimes, and He answers. I ain't even said it out my mouth. Why? Because He lives in there, and He knows every thought that I have. So anyway, this is starting to move me in a direction that I shouldn't be going. And oh, it pained me. Scotty came in one day and I told him, I said, listen, I got to get rid of this truck. Why? You know, he had done everything just like I wanted it, you know, all just like I wanted it. I said, because it's making me feel a certain way and it's not right and I don't want to feel that way. So we go to town. Now I owe a little bit of money on this truck at the time. We go to town, we start looking around car lots and everything. I'm going to trade this thing. Lo and behold. Mama knows, so she's laughing. We pull up over there in one of them lots at Aniana, and there sits a 1996 Buick Century four-door that Granny's gloves and glasses was in the dash. And it has 33,000 miles on it. I looked at it, I said, that's the one. You ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
I said, that's the one over there. Scotty said, I said, that. I said, that's the one right there. So he goes and he talks to the guy. It cost me money to swap that for that car. I'm telling you. Am I telling the truth? That made me pay more money than what I owed on the truck to get that car. I said, that's the one. Oh, that's the car one. I got in that car. I drove that car home. I felt awful. Everybody on the road just sees what I'm driving and they want to go around and I'm going 60. They wasn't even trying to go around me before at 55. Now I'm going 60 and just the way I look from the rear end, they just want to go around me. Why am I telling you this? Because there's some things that lying is wrong for every single one of us.
Right.
Ain't one of us supposed to be lying. The Bible says God hates it. Right? So ain't one of us born again supposed to be lying. But then at the same time, there are certain things that I can't do that you might can do.
Right.
Scripture for this stuff. The Apostle Paul, he said, meat had been offered to idols or whatever. If your conscience don't bother you, eat it.
Right?
Y'all remember that story? He said, but if your conscience bothers you or somebody else's conscience or your brother's conscience bothers, don't eat it in front of your brother.
Right.
And don't try to put your brother's your convictions off on your brother.
Amen.
Why? Because every one of us is supposed to live by this leading on the inside of us. I can't live for Johnny.
Right.
Johnny can't live for God because of everything that I tell him.
Right.
Come on.
I'm reminded, and I don't know how long did I keep that car. Years? The day I got rid of that car was the day I got the truck that I have now. I learned a very valuable lesson, and shitting, I'll never do that again.
Amen.
If I feel it start moving me, I ain't got to get rid of it. I just make the adjustment in here.
Yes.
And you know what? I don't have no big booming speakers. I don't even I have a radio, but I've not had a hooked up radio. My antenna's not hooked up. So I've not even had a radio that you can listen to the radio part for 7 or 8 years. I don't got the big booming speaker. I got car seats in my back seat. I don't even got no kids, but I got grandkids. My back seat's full of car seats. You know what? I like it. I'm not bothered by it. God's not bothered by it. I like it. God likes it for me. We don't have a problem with it, so that's what I drive.
Amen.
But there's certain things that may be wrong to you, and just because you see another Christian do it, if you got something about it on the inside of you, don't do it. Why? Because now you're violating your own conscience. And your own conscience is going to condemn you. Even if maybe the scriptures didn't necessarily say that it was wrong. For some reason, it's wrong for you. And don't try to put your stuff off on me either. I backslid one time, and that's part of what happened to me. Scotty, he got licensed and everything, going to the jail 8 months after we got saved. Well, actually, he'd been going to the jail. Brother Red took him before that. So he had went to the jail without being licensed for a while, but 8 months after we got saved, Brother Brad gave him his license for the jail. They started checking on all that stuff. So he's been in ministry for a long, long time. Now, me, no, I wouldn't say nothing. I wouldn't do nothing or anything. But he's an evangelist, and he's going around to all these different churches, you know. And most time I wouldn't go. One of the things that was wrong with me whenever I come to, I had this image of myself. I don't know why I had the image other than the devil just plays a tape. You know, I can't think necessarily of anything that happened or whatever. But I had this image of myself that if anybody finds out how you really are, they're not going to like you. And I was very shy and very self-conscious and all that, so I didn't talk very much. I know that's hard for you to y'all to believe, but anyway, I've been set free. I didn't talk very much. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything or whatever. At my church, I said on that side of the building, if you wanted to shake my hand, you better come over here. It's not because I'm ugly, but I'm not coming over there. So lo and behold, he's an evangelist. He's going to all these churches. He wants me to go with him, and I'm not going. God didn't call me no evangelist. Go by yourself. Anyway, they start asking, where's your wife at? Why? All evangelist wives comes with them, don't they? And most of them, they play the piano. And they sing. And oh, they just love the Lord, and they are sweet as homemade apple pie. And I am the total opposite of every bit of it. And so they're asking him, where's your wife at? She's not with me, you know, she's at home or whatever, you know. Finally, Charlie got to the point to where one of them asked him, they said, she's at the house, you know, if anything you want to know, go ask her. Well, what he's saying is, you'd just rather not mess with her, you know. But I had this image of everything that they was. Kind of like T.G. Jakes said, one of the problems that he had at his church coming up was that it looked like everybody's testimony, and looking in the natural, everybody was perfect, that he knew all his problems and his faults. But it seemed like nobody else had any. That's kind of the image that I was getting, and the devil was helping me, and people was telling me, you know, well, you're an evangelist wife, you know, you should be this way, you know, and so-and-so, they all play the piano, and they all say, what do you do? Well, I don't do nothing. I don't sing. I don't play the piano. I mean, I took a year's worth of piano lessons from the music teacher at Cleveland School and learned Mary Had a Little Lamb in a year. Piano's not my thing. Why to do that? I'm trying to be something that I'm really not on the inside, because I feel like everybody expects me to be a certain way. And how many knows you can't live that way for long? So that's part of what happened to me. And then some of it was my own ignorance too. So I backslid. And to make a long story short, I had a visitation of the Lord and all that, and he told me, he said, this will never happen to you again. He said, one of the things I want you to do, he said, I want you, and I saw like a horse. He said, I want you to put blinders on like a horse. Why do you put blinders on a horse? So they see straight ahead and not get distracted by anything to the left or to the right. Do you know that's a scripture over there, and I think it's Proverbs 4? He says, put on blinders. He said, don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Look straight ahead. Why? Because all this other stuff is nothing but a distraction out here. All you got to do is focus on me. See, religion tells me I got to be everything that's expected of me to be. That I'm supposed to please everybody all the time. That I'm supposed... I just thought about this one. I thought about it earlier. Y'all heard the saying before, you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day. I wear white any doggone time I want to. Man. If it's okay with God. Yep. I heard certain things. Well, you're not supposed to wear this with that. Listen, I'll wear a plaid with stripes if I want to.
That's right.
I didn't say I wanted to. I'm just telling you. Darcy said, thank God. Because she's real big on matching and all this other stuff. Somebody was telling me something about the way you're supposed to dress in one time, and I said, who are they? And I said, well, I don't wear nice. Who are they? You think you're going to dictate what I wear, how I live, and now you can't even tell me who they are?
Amen.
I'm serious. We have this stuff goes on. Well, the Southern males. Well, I could give a rip or less about the Southern males. Whoever that is. I really don't care. Why? Because I had to. See, God was bringing freedom to me. Religion is a bondage.
Yes.
Relationship is a freedom.
Amen.
I don't read my Bible because I have to.
Right.
When I got born again, I so loved the Word of God. I would read 10 and 15 chapters a day. Scotty got saved in December of 93, 2 weeks later, I got saved in January of 94. Travis turned 2 in February. So he was still little, would take naps and all that. So while he would nap or whatever, I would read 10, 15 chapters of the day. Didn't nobody tell me I had to. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to put it down. But what does religion say? You better read your chapter.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. Reading your Bible is a good thing, and you better do it. Reason why, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is food for my spirit man. He doesn't eat fleshly things. He eats spirit food. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, my words thus speak unto you. He said, they're spirit and they're life. So that's why I need to read my Bible. I need to know what the word says, and I need to feast on the word of God. Have y'all ever been reading the word of God, and when you got done, it was like,
yeah.
Wow. Did you take a bite out of it? I mean, did you roll it up, put it in your mouth, chew it up, swallow it? Do you know you spiritually did?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why you felt the way that you felt? Absolutely. So we need to read our Bible. Not out of religion, because I have to. And listen, that's one of the things that people and the devil will tell you. You got to do this, and you got to do. I don't have to do nothing but live till I die, and I can speed up the process if I choose. Right? I'm not very smart if I do, but I can. But that's what the devil wants, is religion. Now let's look at, we didn't read Hebrews 11:6, did we? Y'all got me on all that. Let me find my verse here. Now verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He's talking about God. Notice that. He said, you might and you might not. He said it's absolutely impossible to please God without faith. Religion has not got a lick of faith in it. All you're doing is going through a bunch of outward motions. It has nothing to do with your inward man or your heart. He says there, but without faith it is impossible to please him, talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've heard people say, well, you can't read enough to please God. You know, there's nothing that you can do to please God. Ain't that contrary to this verse?
Yeah.
If I read my Bible in faith, God's well pleased with me. If I go to my church and attend church in faith, God's well pleased with me. If I come and do it just so all of y'all can see me, I don't care. I stamp my card that I sit on the pew Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whatever. God is not in that. He's not pleased at all. Even though I did the very thing that he wants me to do. Right? Now let's look at, while we're over here in Hebrews 10. I think I want to start in verse 34. Now, these people here, they have been being persecuted and all this, just to catch us up to verse 34. They've been being persecuted. I mean, the people's taking away their stuff, all this other stuff on account of the name of Jesus. He says, for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. The word confidence, you can look it up. You can translate it, the word faith. You can put it believing. You can put it faith. Why? Because when you look up the word faith, it says a strong confidence. It says believing. He says, which has great recompense of reward. Or in other words, your faith has a reward that's coming to you.
Amen.
Right? 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now we know the devil lies in between all that. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. What have we done, read this 3 or 4 times?
Yep.
The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe, or we could say have confidence or faith to the saving of the soul. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5. I'm telling you, religion will kill you. I'm talking about spiritually. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and I ain't going back.
Right.
Under religion, reading your Bible's a drag. And I don't know about y'all, but anything that's a drag to me for too long, I'm getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Why? One of the things I was looking for the day I got born again was joy, because I had so much sadness and sorrow and turmoil and disturbedness and all that crap in my life before I got born again. So one of the things I was looking for was joy. I hunted it in drugs, I hunted it in sex, I hunted it in money, I hunted it in everything, and I couldn't find it. Oh, sure, there was a little pleasure in drinking, or sure, there was a little pleasure in doing drugs, or hanging out this and that, and all that stuff, but how many knows the Bible says there's pleasure in sin? How long? It's only for a season.
That's right.
Till it takes all your money, leaves you knocked up, and your man's gone. Oh, y'all ain't saying that.
Yeah.
All kinds of junk. That was pleasure and all that stuff, but it never gave me true joy. It was only fun while I was doing it. Until after a point of time, then I wasn't doing it no more. It was doing me. Now I got to do it.
Right.
And notice here in, what did I tell y'all? 2 Corinthians 5, verse, so where I want to start at. I think verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, talking about Jesus. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you've got born again, he is a new creature. New creation, some translations say. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, where's it talking about at? In your spirit. The day you got born again, the second you did, you can go look at the mirror, and you still look the same. Your hair's still the same color, still the same length. Your eyes are still the same color. What he's talking about is you are a new creature, new creation on the inside of you. That spirit that was dead unto God has now become alive unto God. He says, and all things are of God, where? In my spirit, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's why you need to witness to people. Give him your testimony. Why? We've been given that ministry to reconcile people to God, not religiously. Right? I mean, there's some people that I'm telling you, before I got born again, I don't even want to see them coming. Why? It's always, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Well, how many knows the Bible says the gospel is good news? I already know I'm going to hell. What do I need to do about it to change that?
Right.
And me going to hell, keep telling me I'm going to hell. It's not good news. That's bad news. He goes on and he says, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus never sinned. The Bible says he's the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, right? But he says here, God made him sin.
Yep.
It says, who knew no sin, that we might be made, not because of what I do, that he made us the righteousness of God in him, talking about in Christ. The day that you got born again, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In yourself? No. In myself? No, but I'm not in myself anymore. I got born again and I'm in him. Now I am the righteousness of God in Christ, not by what I do, but by whom I have believed in. Right? So now, because the righteousness of God is on the inside of me, God wants me to work out through my thinking, through my talking, through my doing, that righteousness that has came on the inside of me. And it's not by you telling me everything I need to do or not do. I'm reminded about a story. You know, I told you once I got born again, I'd read 10, 15 chapters of the Bible a day. I just loved it. Well, Scotty, he took a little New Testament pocket, you know, Bible to work with him. And on his lunch break, he would sit there and he would read the Bible too. You know, but he didn't have as much time as I did because he worked, you know, a public job and all that. And I didn't. I was at home with Travis and everything. So one of the things that started happening to me, I mean, I was just devouring this word. And everything that it said to do, I wanted to do. And everything that it said not to do, I didn't want to do. So lo and behold, Scotty would come in, you know, we'd be talking or we'd be going somewhere. He'd be doing something. And I'd say, oh, the Bible says don't do that. So he'd be like, okay, well, we won't do that. Well, then it says, I say, the Bible says, don't say that. Now, I'm not meaning any harm.
Yeah, right.
And God knows my heart. But I have read it, and any time he would say something or do something, that word would come to my remembrance. And I'd be like, oh, the Bible says don't do that. So he'd be like, oh, okay, let's don't do it. The Bible says don't do it. Let's don't do it, you know. Or he'd say, I said, the Bible says don't say that. And he's, okay, you know, I'm sorry, I won't say that, you know. Or he wouldn't do something. I said, the Bible says do this. You know, the Bible says do that. Well, lo and behold, I'm not thinking anything about it, and I'm not doing it out of religion.
Right.
I'm just doing, I'm excited. And I've read it, so I know what it says, and I'm just talking, you know. But how many knows it's making him feel a certain way, and I don't know it.
Right.
I can say it right now. It's the first time that I ever felt like I heard God out here. This was so loud to me. Sound like in an audible voice. Man, not a man, but I mean, it was just so loud, so plain. I'm in my bedroom, and I'm cleaning. I'm dusting. I got the pledge, you know, I'm dusting. I'm just working away and everything. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud and clear. It's not your place to tell him. And the instant he said that, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I didn't have to say, what are you talking about? Yeah, don't play that game with God.
Right.
You might can play that with me, you can't play it with him. He knew that's all he had to say. The instant I heard that, I knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about everything Scotty would say and do. I would say, the Bible says don't do that, and everything he wouldn't. I would say, the Bible says we're supposed to do this. He said, it's not your place to tell him why. I'm not the Holy Ghost Junior. You're not the Holy Ghost Junior. I wasn't meaning to be, but in my ignorance, and that's why God told me. You know why he didn't get on to it? He knew it wasn't out of a wrong spirit or anything. I don't know, but it's making Scotty feel bad. And how many knows, Scotty's not supposed to live by my word.
Right.
Scotty's not supposed to live by my convictions.
That's right.
He's supposed to live by this word and the Holy Spirit on the inside of him.
Amen.
I know women, I'm telling you, they have tried for years to get their husband saved. Put notes of scriptures and different things in their lunchbox. And they're always on them, telling them everything they're supposed to do according to the word and everything they're not supposed to do according to the word. Listen, honey, he's a sinner. He's going to sin.
Yeah.
Maybe if you'd shut up long enough, the Holy Ghost could really talk to him and do something.
Come on.
But because all he hears is blah, 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 blah from us women sometimes, y'all not saying nothing.
Yeah, right.
I got a scripture for it. The Bible says, what is it, 1st or 2nd Peter? It talks about how women are supposed to, men will be won over by our gentle, quiet spirit. Listen, I'm a woman. Y'all can tell, right?
Yeah.
I look like one of them. I really am one. I'm not trans. I really am one. So I understand. And I have a very dominant personality. So I fully understand. But how many knows we have to leave room for the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
Scotty, God knows he was going to put him in his own business. We had no clue. He had been saved a year. God puts him in his own business. I'm not going to go into all how all that happened. It was miraculous anyway. God puts him in his own business with his brother, their partners. And they got a situation comes up one day. Anyway, they split. And Scotty comes to me. He's got a situation comes up one day. Now, I have went to church. I've heard the stories. And did the How to Be the Wife of a Happy Husband classes. So I'm learning some stuff. God knows I needed it. And maybe y'all didn't have to go as far as I did. But anyway, I went to these classes. And now Scotty's in his own business. Lo and behold, he comes to me one day. And he says, tells me the situation. He says, what do you think I need to do? Now, because I've been to these classes, Shannon, I'm trying to do what they're saying. I said, I don't know. I can't tell you. You could have slapped him over with a feather. Why? I've always got an opinion. I can run the world, buddy. I can tell you what to do.
Come on.
Don't ever look at Cassandra right now. I can tell you what to do. So here he's coming to me. See, that's how I always was before we got saved.
Right.
And a little bit while after, too. And I still got an opinion. I don't tell it as much, you know. But he's coming to me and he's asking me, what do I need to know about this? And I tell him, I don't know. Be led. Pray. The Lord will show you. I know. Now, I got an opinion, I can tell it. But because I've been to these classes and I'm trying to do the word that I heard, I won't tell him what I think. Oh, you could have crushed him. Why? He's in a dilemma. Something's got to be done about this, and in himself, he don't have a clue of what to do. You know what that does? Scotty got to doing some praying. Scotty got to doing some fasting, and Scotty heard from the Lord.
Amen.
And Scotty's been in business for 20-something years now, nearly 30 years. You know what? God knew that I had to shut that up, and he's got to begin to hear from God. Because you know what? Every time his phone rings almost, it's a problem. And you can ask Travis and David, there's some days that baby will ring all day long. It rings on the weekend, and I go, oh, don't answer that. Why? I'm right in mid-sentence. I'm right in Walmart trying to spend something. So almost every time it rings, it's a problem. And guess what? Tracy can't be his problem solver. And God knew in order for him to be successful in his own business, he had to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's the only one that can help him. Yeah. I'm not on all those jobs with him.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times he's been led to do a certain thing, and I thought, this is crazy.
Yep.
If it was me, I'd do this and this and this and this. So he tells me, listen, you do good when you stay out of my business. You get in trouble when you're in it. And that's absolute truth. I don't like to know nothing about nobody that calls because it tries to wrap my mind until he gets it done. And that's not my place. I got to stop because actually our time is up and we didn't get to exactly where I was going on this. But anyway.